Take your seats, please. You know, God took Moses from where he was and placed him in the wilderness to prepare him for his destiny. For 40 years, the Bible says Moses was in the wilderness. And eventually, when the time came for him to be unveiled, can we go to Exodus, please? Do you mind if I share this morning? Exodus chapter 3. I want to read from verse 7. It says, "The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering." I just want to encourage somebody this morning that God hears your prayers, and he's concerned about what you're going through. That all your prayers are not in vain. He's concerned, and he hears it. Shall we go to the next verse, please? 8. "So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good land and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." Listen to this. God is taking them from where they are into a spacious place, a place that flows with milk and honey. That's a good place. But it's interesting that God says, "So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians." Did God come down? No, he didn't. He came down through Moses. He came down through Moses. And at some point, Moses said to God, "God, what if I go to these people and they question my identity? What do I tell them? What if I go to these people and I say, 'God sent me,' and they question my identity? What do I tell them?" And God said, "You do this miracle, you do that miracle, and then they will believe you." Now listen, is it possible that for some time now you've been praying to God concerning something, and then God sends the answer in a form that you are probably not expecting? There are times that opportunities come our way, but because they are not in the way we expected, we miss it. We miss it because they are disguised in ways that we probably don't think, this is the way I want it. Years ago, when I first came to this country, about maybe 19 years ago, and I was desperate for a job. Well, not desperate. I really wanted to do something. And I thought retail was quite easy, so I'll go into retail. And so I saw this job in the newspapers, and I applied for it. And it turns out that when I got to the interview, it wasn't even nothing to do with retail. It was a cleaning job. And I thought, this is what I applied for. I said, you know, I'll do it. It turns out that this company is called Enterprise Cleaning. You know, they're a big company. And they were contracted to another company called Boots. So they were cleaning for Boots. So my first job that day, they sent me 6 o'clock in the morning to the Boots in Edgware to clean. Deepa would testify because she works there as well. And for 3 months, I started doing this job. Just doing it. And then one day, as I was cleaning, this woman came up to me. I didn't even know. I see her in Boots, but I don't know her because I'm working for a different company, not for Boots. And then she comes to me and she said, "Why are you doing this job? I'm sure you can do better." I say, "Here, have a form." And she gives me an application form. I say, "Fill it, and I'll do the rest." So I filled it, and then in 2 weeks, I started working there. And for the next 8 years, I found myself working in Boots. Now, the point I'm trying to say is, I prayed to God for a job in retail, but it didn't come in the form of a retail. It came in the form of a cleaning job. So there are times that God will bring you things disguised in ways that you're not expecting. It takes the Spirit of God. It takes you to be sensitive to what God is doing for you to see what he's doing. Because otherwise, you might miss what he has for you. This is our year of Jubilee. He's got plans for us. There are things that we are praying and believing God for. You've got to be sensitive to the move of God because it might just appear, but it might not be in the way you're expecting it. Amen. It might not be the way you're expecting it because God's promises are yes and amen. Once he says he will do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I just want to encourage somebody here this morning that as we step into this year, you see, God wouldn't tell you that it's your year of Jubilee if he didn't have anything for you. He's got something in store, definitely for you. But as to when this year of Jubilee manifests in your life, it's up to you. Whether it takes a day, whether it takes a month, whether it takes the next 6 months, whatever day it takes, it's up to you. It's up to you. Shall we continue? Verse, Let me read that. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out onto the land, into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. Next verse, please. Next verse. I'll continue from mine. So now, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. So Moses has been in the wilderness for 40 years, and now God is about to unveil his purpose for him. And says, the purpose that I put you in the wilderness is so that you can deliver the children of Israel. 40 years in the wilderness, sadly, when it comes to stepping into his purpose, Moses is shying away. He starts giving God excuses. But God, I'm not able to. I don't have what it takes. I'm not eloquent in my speech. I'm this, I'm that. He keeps giving all the excuses that he can think of. And unfortunately, that is how many of us live. That is how many of us live. You see, we approach life always considering our circumstances. That is how we approach life. We approach life considering our circumstances instead of what God is saying. We approach life considering what things around us are saying instead of what God is saying, instead of what the source of what we are saying is coming from. That is how we approach life. And that is what affected Moses, because God had a purpose for him, but he wasn't looking to the source. He was looking to the circumstances around him, and that affected the way he moved. Listen, if you're going to fulfill the purpose that God has for you this year, you need to stop looking around your circumstances. You need to look to your source. You need to look to your source. God is your source. You know, in the book of Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God, he makes it clear what the source is. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. God, he makes it so clear that everything that else follows comes from me. And now when you go to Genesis 1:11, it says, he spoke to the ground and there was vegetation. Vegetation came out of the ground. Now he spoke, but the vegetation, the ground was the source of the vegetation. And he says, he spoke to the sea and the fish came out of the sea. The sea was the source of all the fish. But when he came to man, do you know who he spoke to? He spoke to himself. He says, let us create man in our own image. He spoke to himself. And so consider, you see, the source that you are coming from, it's not just any ordinary source. Now, if God is for you, who can be against you? Don't consider your circumstances at all. Consider your source, where you came from. Consider where you came from is the source. Because if God is for you, who can be against you? Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Get connected to your source. Get connected to your source. Get connected to your source. Now, I just want to ask you this question. Pastor Paul said, this year is our year of Jubilee. But where did it come from? It came from God originally. He heard from God, and God told him. So it came from God, but God is saying to us through Pastor Paul. So the fact that this is our year of Jubilee, is strictly the source of that is coming from God straight away. The Bible says in John chapter 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the very fact that God has said that it's your year of Jubilee, it's him going with us. That is the word he's given us to go throughout the year. Every morning I wake up and I say, God, I thank you. And even though things doesn't feel like the way it should feel, I wake up in the morning and I say, God, I thank you that this is my year of Jubilee. I thank you that you've set me free to achieve everything that you've called me to achieve. You see, Jubilee means rest. It means restoration. It means freedom. And I claim all that. I don't have to wait to see it before I claim it. I don't have to. I need to start proclaiming and declaring until it becomes a reality in my life. Now listen, this says the word, or God says, the word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. their spirit and their life. You see, his word is active and powerful. His word is active and alive. And so the fact that God's word is spirit and life tells you that this proclamation that God has made is made in the realm of the spirit. And if you know anything about how things work, everything you see in the realm of the natural first takes place in the realm of the spirit. So in the realm of the spirit, God has already given us the victory. He's completely already given us the victory. It's up to us to walk into that victory. Walk to him. And now the question is, when do I see the manifestation of this year of Jubilee? When do I see it? And I say, it's up to you. You know, in Daniel chapter 9, the Bible says Daniel is reading the book of Jeremiah. It's the book of the prophets. And as he's reading the book, he sees that, or suddenly he recognizes that God promised the children of Israel out of captivity after 70 years. Now he recognizes that 70 years is up, but the children are still in captivity. Now, does that mean God's promise does not hold true? No, it doesn't. It was because of issues in their lives. That's why they were still in captivity. And so there are times God can declare this as a year of Jubilee. But if you don't deal with issues in our life, we'll go through the year without seeing anything. And so when Daniel realizes that the time is up and yet these people are still in captivity, he takes on the role of an intercessor. And he says, God, you promised us this year that we'll come out of captivity. Why is it that we are still in captivity? God, forgive us for any sin that we've committed. And as he begins to pray, sadly, the answer comes. Look, there are certain things that would only be released, or certain purposes in your life that will only be released through prayer. And so if it gets to a certain point that you think you're not seeing what God promised, you need to go down on your knees and pray and say, God, why am I not seeing this thing that you declared in my life? This same Daniel, the Bible says he prayed concerning the situation, and God brought the answer. But he says the prince of Persia withheld the answer for 21 days. As far as God was concerned, God had released the answer. But there were things in the realm of the spirits holding it back. Ephesians 6:12 said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There are things that are trying. Look, if there's one thing the enemy doesn't want, it's to see you restored this year. It's to see you be free this year. It's to see you being resting this year. He doesn't want to see that. So he will fight it. He will contend it. But the Bible says, for this reason, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the enemy. Somebody give God praise in the house this morning. Listen, God sent the angel. When the prince of Persia withheld the answer from Daniel, God sent an angel, Michael, to come and give that breakthrough that Daniel needed. But if an angel can do that, surely Jesus can do more than that for us. So for this reason, he was sent to destroy the works of the enemy. That's not a big deal for God at all. It's not a big deal for God at all. He can do it. Listen, I don't know what you're going through. I remember the Bible says Jacob, you know, after he stole his brother's blessing, he was running away. And he got to a point where he couldn't carry on anymore because it was dark. Not because he didn't want to carry on, but because circumstances would not let him go on. And there are times you can get to a place in life where you do everything that you can, but circumstances will stop you from going on. And the Bible says, he got a stone for a pillow and put his head there. Now, whether he used the stone for a pillow or not, I don't know. But I know this. The Bible is trying to describe the difficulty of the situation, how hard the situation was. And the Bible says, as he slept, he saw a stairway leading from where he was into heaven. And he saw angels ascending and descending. And on top of the stairs stood God himself. And God said, Jacob, look, I am the father of Abraham and Isaac. And I assure you that I will be with you throughout the whole journey. And I will not leave you until what I've said, until what I've promised will come to pass. I will not leave you until what I've promised you will come to pass. Now, the moment Jacob heard this, sadly, all the struggles and all the discomfort and everything he was going through didn't matter anymore because he had heard God's voice. I want you to hold on to God's voice this year. His voice says it's your year of Jubilee. Hold on to it. Don't worry about anything that is going around you. Hold on to that voice. But it's interesting because it is in that place of his discomfort. It is in that place of his worry and care, that place of great discomfort, that he also got the greatest revelation from God. Amen. It was in that place. And I've seen that it happens all the time in the Bible, even with the story of Martha and Mary, when they told Jesus that Lazarus was sick. News got to Jesus that Lazarus was sick. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus goes to his disciples and says, Lazarus is sick. And the next thing, you think the next thing will say, let's go and heal him. But he said, let's stay here 2 days more. That's what Jesus, these are the kind of people who send people to heal for life. Now imagine if Mary and Martha knew what Jesus has said. They would drive you. And Jesus was a very good friend of Lazarus, but he stayed there 2 days more. And when he came back, Lazarus was dead. Now can you imagine the pain, the stress, and all that Mary and Martha were going through? But it was in that place of their pain and in their stress and in their discomfort that they found out that not only can Jesus heal the sick, but he can also raise the dead. Listen, I don't know what you're going through this morning, but there's a purpose to it. I say, God will never put you in any place without a purpose. You need to say, God, what is the purpose in this? What is the purpose in this? What is the purpose in this? Because there's always a purpose to what you go through. It happens all the time. All the time. One of the disciples, the Bible says, were in a boat with Jesus. And Jesus was fast asleep. The source was asleep. And suddenly there was a storm. Things were turning around and left. And they started crying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Or don't you care that we die? And then Jesus woke up and he commanded the wind and the storm to be still. And then suddenly they said, wow, who is this that even the winds and the sea obey? Until then, they didn't know that side of him. But when they went through the storm, it was at that point that they had a revelation about Jesus. The things that God wants to reveal to you. There are things that he wants to reveal to you. But you need to put yourself in that place to be able to understand what he's trying to do. The Bible says everything works together for good to them that love God. Everything works together for good. Meaning there are certain things that by default are no good. But God in his mercy and his wisdom can take it and turn it around for your good. Hallelujah. This is your year of jubilee. This is your year of jubilee. God's promises are yes and amen. His promises are yes and amen. You don't have to see it to believe it. You don't have to see it to believe it. If he said it, he will honor it. If he said it, he would honor it. He said to Joshua, look, wherever the sole of your feet shall tread upon, you take it as your inheritance, wherever. But how far you go, it's up to you. The whole year is the year of jubilee. But how far you go in this year, it's up to you. It's up to you. You need to go down on your knees and say, Lord, why am I not seeing things the way you want me to see it? And start claiming what he has for you. Start claiming it. It's yours. He didn't do it. It's yours. It's yours. Leviticus 25, please. Leviticus 25. Leviticus chapter 25. Verse 20. Leviticus 25, verse 20, please. 25, verse 20. That's it. It says, you may ask, what will we eat in the seventh year if we do not plant or harvest our crops? I will send you such a blessing in the sixth year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. The year of Jubilee is a year of restoration. It's a year of rest. It's a year of freedom. And so God instructed them. God said to them, look, in that year, I don't want you to do anything. And then says they would ask, but God, if you don't do anything, what are we going to eat the year after? And God is saying, I will send such a blessing in the year before that the land will yield enough, not only for 1 year, 2 years, but for 3 years. 3 years. This is pure favor. Nothing else but pure favor. But understand, he says in the sixth year, I'm going to bless what you do in the sixth year. So there's something that you have that God is really going to work on. There's something that you have that God is going to work on in this year of Jubilee. And you need to find what that is. And that is your purpose. You need to find what that thing is. Because that is what he's going to bless so much that for 1 year, 2 or 3 years, it would last you this whole year. Even there'll be an overflow. Overflow. I remember Pastor Ken God said something. He says, heaven pool we always measure. There is no limitation to what God does. Constantly pouring. Constantly pouring. He wants to give you rest this year. He wants to give you restoration this year. He wants to do that this year. And that is why his word is gone forth. Are you ready for what he's about to do this year? It's not just a question of just sitting down and saying, yes, I'm ready. But you need to really show God, Lord, thank you for this. I wake up every morning, like I said, I say, God, thank you so much for this year of Jubilee. Whether I fail it or not, whether I see it or not, I claim it because of his word. He watches over his word to perform it. It's active and it's alive. I don't want to live by my circumstances anymore. Those days are over. Because when you live by your circumstances, you make certain decisions that are not always favorable. Because you're being influenced by external factors, not your source. He spoke to himself, said, let us make man in our own image. And this is what you see today. I want you to be on your feet. God wants to do something in your life. And I just want to encourage you that as God sets you free, as he restores you, as he gives you rest, also do it for somebody too. Do it for somebody. Do it for somebody. Do it for somebody. Reach out and do it for somebody too. Restore somebody. Set somebody free. Give somebody rest too. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, anytime God sends a messenger, it's because he's got a message. And I believe this is the message God has for you this morning. As soon as I stood on that platform, I knew that there was a breakthrough anointing in this room. And I said, God, thank you, because God doesn't work with numbers, to the point that I felt God saying, those who have the capacity to take a double portion of what he's giving them. Somebody's life will never be the same again. I know it. And it's because God said so. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for every single person here this morning. Father, I pray that may they locate, oh God, the purpose you have for them this year, oh God, without delay, oh God, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that you are the God who orders the steps of righteous men. Every single person here is righteous because of the blood of Jesus. And I ask the Lord, you order their steps. Whatever area, God, they are believing you for. Whether it's their jobs, it's their businesses, it's their relationship with you, Lord. Whatever area they are believing you for, I pray for that breakthrough anointing, oh God, to begin to work in that area, oh God. Father, meet them today at the very point of their need. Let whatever they are going through today be a point where, Lord, you reveal something about you that they never even knew before. God. Father, I thank you for that fresh wind that is blowing, oh God. And I thank you that from today, Lord, we would not live by our circumstances, but we would live by your word. Just like Jacob held onto your word and your promise, Lord, today we hold onto that promise of yours. That is our year of Jubilee. We hold onto it. We hold onto it this morning. We refuse, oh God, to be moved by what we see or what we hear. We only are going to be moved by your word, oh God. No opinion of God matters except your opinion. Father, I thank you so much for the work that you've begun. I thank you for that transformation, oh God. And I thank you, oh God, that your goodness and your mercy, oh God, will follow your children every single day of their life throughout this entire year. In the name